here in our facility. There isn't very much insurance coverage available here other than the insurance that the state employees are fortunate enough to have that really recognizes alcoholism as something that they'll cover.
Questions for the witness?
Mr. Lee, which organization do you represent?
It's the Juno Recovery Unit.
And you're the administrator?
Yes.
That's all, Mr.
Thank you.
Just real quick. How many people are treated under insurance programs, percentage?
Very, less than 5% at the Juno Recovery Unit.
In other words, in Juno, less than 5%.
That's right.
And in the other areas, what did we say, up to 80%?
They're much more exclusive in terms of who they admit. Mr. Armstrong is getting a lot of the insurance folks that we'd be very glad to have in our facility. We are a partially state-supported and city-supported program and are seen as
such. How much does the state put into the program?
Approximately a third. Our grant is in the neighborhood of $500,000 a year.
Then, just one comment. I consider alcoholism and drug use a disease. And when I say social programs, it is to get people collectively to agree how you come to grips with it. The level of social awareness, the recent articles have talked about the tragedy that leads to suicide. So I certainly agree it is a disease. But once again, I become concerned with we pass another law that mandates somebody to do something, this means there is going to be a significant decrease in alcoholism and drug use. I will buy in right away and be a sponsor and a strong advocate of any program that I'm assured there is going to be at least a 10% drop in alcoholism and drug thing. That's the same thing I'm having problem with the workman's comp. We're trying to pass a law, and people are talking about, well, if you pass the law, there may be some drop in the soft insurance charges. So I'll be glad if you can just about assure me that there would at least be a 10% drop in alcoholism and drug use in the state, more than it would be providing more money so you could treat more people.
I understand your concern, and the whole problem of measuring effectiveness in human services programs is a real problem. I can understand why you folks would like that kind of input, and I think it's very possible that our State Office of Alcoholism can respond to some of those kinds of questions, but it's a difficult thing to measure. We couldn't handle much more business than we have, so we're not trying to drum up anymore. We have 15 beds, and we run at an average of over 90% occupancy. Much of the time have a waiting list, and much of the time turn people away. So we, at this point, really aren't concerned about trying to reach more people to treat. But as funding gets tighter and tighter, we are more and more concerned about how to keep our doors open and keep those 15 beds going. And revenues are going to be a significant issue in that.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you. George Mundell.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm George Mundell with the Department of Health and Social Services, and you should in your packets have a copy of our position paper, which is supportive of the bill. And listen to the testimony today. This thing sounds a little bit like this Fram oil filter commercial that we hear on TV, where you're going to pay me now or you're going to pay me later. And I believe we were talking about incentives. And I believe what this
excuse me, just a second. Representative Boucher, I intend to appoint you to a subcommittee to deal with this issue. So just before you take off, I just want to let you know.
Well, we got to get to that 10% reduction. No, if we can treat people at an earlier age, I think, or at an earlier stage in their disease, we can get better outcomes, and it costs less than an outpatient versus a hospital setting, and that's what we heard in the testimony. So that's why I use the analogy of the Fram oil filter. If you buy new filters, then you don't have to go for the expensive engine overhaul later down the road. But more seriously, we've heard from the sponsor about the 34 other states that have similar types of legislation. And if there is any state of our 50 states that needs this type of bill for its preventive value, it's got to be Alaska. I mean, we see the data, the numbers are there, our per capita consumption is off the chart in comparison with other states. We're well over the national average. with the increased consumption, we experience increased numbers of problems due to drinking. And what alcoholism is repeated numbers of problems within the life of one individual. And so we've got a lot of people in need of alcoholism treatment services. And if they don't get treatment when they're employed or employable, then they fall off and, as we heard in testimony, and end up on the rolls of our public funded system. We're talking numbers of clients. Last year, we treated in excess of over 9,000 people in the public funded system. And most every one of those people at some point in their life did have productive jobs that did contain that an element of the job was to have medical insurance. So I know you're running late and I won't take any more of your time, but we really do need this bill in Alaska. I think that pointing to it as a single answer for our alcohol problems would not be correct, but it's certainly a piece of the overall puzzle. And, you know, the legislature's attacked this thing for several years. I mean, you pass laws that require the school-age curriculum. They're looking at you. We've certainly looked in the area of the drinking driver. You've been generous in your appropriations to provide basic services, detoxification, outpatient services. And so this is another opportunity, I think, the legislature has to behave in a very responsible manner to put in place a strategy that would have a tendency to impact the overall problem.
Okay, Representative Furness and Representative Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mandel, has your department explored ways of requiring the providers, the insurers, of expanding their level of coverage as opposed to mandating it down on the employers?
We do that in a couple of ways. By statute, and we mentioned it in our position paper, AS 4737040 mandates that SOTA, which is our agency, shall encourage all health and disability insurance programs to include alcoholism. Excuse me, that was the... It was just in our enabling legislation. Our mandate is to encourage all health and disability insurance programs to include alcoholism as a covered illness. That's one of the duties of our office, so we do it in that way. More importantly, it's our agency that fulfills the quality assurance function that goes around and monitors and on an annual basis provides the evaluations and the approval of state-approved facilities for the treatment of alcoholism and drug abuse. We develop that into a directory. We share it with all of the insurance companies and have a lot of contact with insurance companies, letting them know which programs, private and public in Alaska, are state-approved.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I see you passed the resolution resolved that insurance policy should be required to reimburse for alcohol and drug abuse treatment services, including those that are state provided. But now, has the department taken this farther by interacting with the insurers to encourage them either through the Department of Insurance to increase their coverage? Has anything happened beyond that? The resolution, I guess.
What we do with the insurance companies you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, we provide them with a list of state-approved directories. We have, see, in many of these policies, whether they will pay within the limits of that particular policy is contingent upon the services being provided to the state-approved agency. And so to the extent that we conduct communications with insurance companies in that realm.
Okay.
Representative Boucher?
This is just kind of a unique idea. We're dealing with the economic recovery problem right now. So we're having subcommittees and we bring people in. Now, one of the things that we're doing is we're getting the public sector to participate in how we get the economy pumped up. I think we need to deal with this human recovery just the same way. My concern here is certainly the law is responding to a need. But, for example, how much were you budgeted for last year to deal with a major problem?
Approximately $12,500,000.
$12,500,000. Was that an increase or a decrease over the year before?
That was a slight increase. The year before was the one that we had the rescission in mid-year FY86.
They cut the budget?
Yes, sir. All states.
Okay. Has the budget increased with in ratio to the alcoholism problem in the state?
Safe answer would be no.
My thing is we need to hold our feet to the fire, and this is some of the things, in other words, where the private sector is doing something right now, and leave them alone. Let them continue on. Maybe you can learn something from how they're doing it. But in, as was said, the unsaid thing in this community here is probably poorer people are the ones, people that can't be insured. That's where government has a responsibility. And I think most of the cases that are being cited, we ought to be dealing with this as a public responsibility. And I, for one, I recall some of the discussion around the cuts at that particular time. I think if we can go out and take $75 million and put it out in the street to put people to work or what have you, I think that certainly some thought can be given to dealing with that problem that the private sector isn't dealing with already themselves. And I would certainly be supportive of any effort on behalf of both the minority and the majority to make sure that our budget within state government this year dealt with the problem in the same dimension that people are expressing statewide concern about. We write all kinds of articles, we do all types of editorials, we maybe pass a little gimmick here or there, but we really don't come to grips with the problem. And I think alcoholism in the state has to, we must come to grips with it with a combined public-private sector. I would like to see as much activity statewide on the recovery and dealing with drugs and dealing with alcoholism as we're spending on economic recovery.
Okay, and well, I think I see that this is
that's
a good
focus
discussion
I would like to
take
a subcommittee to.
Sure, okay, what I'm going to do is appoint a subcommittee, and Representative Boucher, you can chair it with Representative Furness and Representative Davidson. I'm going to set a time certain to hear this bill again, so the subcommittee should complete their work by that time. We'll take it up as a full committee again on the 23rd of February. So that's 2 weeks, and
Mr. Chairman,
we'll bring the bill back.
Would we be free to hold a teleconference and ask other people what are they doing about it as opposed to dealing with crossing the I's and dotting the T's in this bill?
Well, between here and the 23rd, if the subcommittee wants to hold a teleconference, they can. On the 23rd, the committee will meet and with the intent to decide whether to there will be a motion at that time. I anticipate to move it from committee one way or the other.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any other
member
of the public
that can... I'm sure there are some people in this room that came to listen to it, but I'm sending a message to you people that may or may not have been successful in this thing. The subcommittee would like to hear from you as to possible solutions to maybe the legislation is the answer.
Is there any other member of the public who'd like to give testimony on this bill at this time? Seeing now, can we move on to the next piece of legislation? Okay. Well, we've lost our quorum now that we've talked that bill to bloody death. Seems to be much point, does there? I was hoping to be able to adopt a committee substitute today.
Also, move, Mr. Chairman, you had form to start with. I need you to do that. Which bill are you talking about?
421.
Okay.
There's a motion to adopt a committee substitute. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, motion passes. Is there anyone here to give testimony on House Bill 421? Okay, well, the main thing today was to get the committee substitute before the members so they see the revisions that we had made. And if anyone has any questions, Mark Begich of my office is here to answer questions you might have at this time. Mr. Begich, would you join us up here just in case? Basically, the way this is coming out is that it seems like it might be significant incentives for the major gas line proposal, Trans-Alaska Gas Line, would not seem to economically impact the proposed NSTAR line to a significant degree, but it would impact upon the Trans-Alaska Gas Line proposal.
Mr. Trustee, Mr. Chairman, what's the next committee referral? Finance?
I think it's finance.
Do you want a motion to send it to next committee?
I'd entertain a motion to do that if we could, but we'd have to get, can we do that?
Well, I'm sorry, the motion was...
We don't have a quorum, can we entertain a motion to...
You started with a quorum.
We started with a quorum, yeah. Would they get signed on this? Let's give it a try.
Also move, Mr. Chairman, that the House, Committee Substitute for House Bill 421, Labor and Commerce, be referred to the next committee referral. Move it out with individual recommendation.
Is there any objection? With no objection, motion carries. Okay, then that concludes the business of today. Members should be aware that staff has contacted the ad hoc committee, Labor Management Committee on the Workers' Compensation, with the recommendations of the subcommittee of things that we'd like to see them to come back on.
And they have responded in writing and received it early, about 10 o'clock this morning.
They responded that fast in writing?
Well, they received the document day before yesterday in the afternoon, and they received a few hours before they had a meeting, so they do have a written response that I have just put in your files. I'll get it to you this afternoon.
I'd like to have that, yes.
Well, remember, we went through part of them before.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
So they have the total list of 35 or whatever.
They had a copy of the same document that you did with instructions that it appeared that our committee would want a response on each item from them.
Okay.
Okay.
To see that.
Good. All right. Seeing no further matters to come before committee at this time, meeting adjourned.